Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to the magical, mystical kingdom of Newsbusters. If that sounds dorky, I believe Dan Rather once actually said that working in the news was like the magical, mystical nights of journalism. So I'm just borrowing. But I would like to say, you know, I come in on a Monday morning and I just feel like we just have a great staff here at Newsbusters. I'm just happy that you come in and you're like, did you see this? And they're like, yes, and let me tell you some more. So, you know, we can start the day here at 9 o'clock in the morning. People are already clicking. We're already writing. We're churning it out. We're churning and burning. And, of course, this weekend, CBS had quite an Easter weekend. We might even call it another Fairness is Overrated weekend. The Dan Rather Network has never stopped its modus operandi. I mean, it's more like a modus panderandi, if you can mangle the Latin. What you have here is a perfectly partisan pattern. All Democrat propaganda, all the time. So we're sucking up to Hunter Biden on Sunday morning, and by Sunday evening, we're slamming Ron DeSantis. Oh, but there was stuff going on before that. They, CBSNews.com, they took a tweet down for an article they had posted. It was blatantly titled, Three Ways Companies Can Help Fight Georgia's Restrictive New Voting Law. Just blatant advocacy. Three ways companies should do what the Democrats tell them to do. So CBSNews.com took the tweet down and they mangled, they altered the headline, but the message was the same. Then it became more of that, activists say these are the three steps you should do. One, do not donate to Republicans who sponsored this law. They're always telling the corporations what to do, and the corporations are supposed to be woke, and they're supposed to never contribute to Republicans, and especially that kind of Republican, who we're just going to assume are racist because they asked for a voter ID. Number two, spread awareness of the Georgia law to other states. Well, the media are certainly all over that. And number three, fight for a federal law, the so-called For the People Act. This is the whole game. They're going to use the Georgia law and then use it to say, this is why we need a federal law that takes all the power away from states so the Democrats can administer elections so fairly, just like the media administers our politics so fairly. And what's comical is that some of these stories on the Georgia voting bill are sort of like, the state legislators are taking power away from counties. Okay, so the solution is obviously for the federal government to take it away from the states. This is not the only story about CBS, of course. Even early on in the weekend, CBS was getting it on Twitter for deceptively editing a heated exchange between Governor Ron DeSantis and their correspondent, Sharon Alfonsi. She was accusing the governor of a pay-for-play scheme. And in a promotional tweet for 60 Minutes, Alfonsi made a big point that the major supermarket chain Publix had donated $100,000 to DeSantis and were then given the opportunity to administer vaccines. See, this is a campaign finance scandal. They love this angle. Christine Marsh has the 60 Minutes story up now at Newsbusters. This, to me, was the funniest part. She spends the majority of the time talking to all the DeSantis critics, all the Democrats who dislike him because that's the way they do things at 60 Minutes to the Republicans. including the mayor of West Palm Beach, a guy named Keith James, who alleged that wealthy communities were, quote-unquote, jumping the line to get vaccines, to which Sharon Alfonsi of CBS said, "It sounds like the Hunger Games." What? Have you read a book? Have you seen a movie? I mean, people in Florida go to get a vaccine at the Publix and a fight breaks out. It's Mortal Kombat. So let's just give you a feeling, a flavor of how this was edited in at CBS.
Publix, as you know, donated $100,000 to your campaign, and then you rewarded them with the exclusive rights to distribute the vaccination in Palm Beach.
So first of all, what you're saying is wrong.
How is that not pay to play?
That's a fake narrative. I met with the county mayor. I met with the administrator. I met with all the folks at Palm Beach County, and I said, here's some of the options. We can do more drive-through sites. We can give more to hospitals. We can do the Publix. And they said, we think that would be the easiest thing for our residents.
Let's talk for a second now about just the choice of target. This is where the media bias always starts. What story do you decide to report? And what story do you decide not to report? 60 Minutes isn't going to do a story on Andrew Cuomo in New York. They haven't done that. CBS isn't going to New Jersey under Democrat Governor Phil Murphy. These are some of the worst performing states on the coronavirus. Worse than Florida. But they're going to pick on Florida. Why? Because Florida's governor is not a Democrat. Florida's governor may be a contender for the presidential campaign in 2024, so we have to go after him now. Does anyone think that if Andrew Gillum had won this race and was the governor of the state, they'd be doing this story? Does anybody think that maybe CBS should be looking back on how Andrew Gillum was then caught passed out naked in a hotel room alongside a gay male escort and a stash of crystal meth? Just imagine the 60 Minutes investigation into that mess. Oh, sorry, CBS can't do that. You know why? Because it's so dry. It's so boring. You can't get ratings from a story with those kinds of elements. No, we have to imagine Mortal Kombat, Hunger Games at the Publix supermarket. I've been to Florida. Publix is awesome. They're in a lot of southern states. We went to the beach last year in North Carolina. You got to hit the Publix to get your supplies. The alleged scandal here is DeSantis somehow personally selected Publix to help out with vaccine distribution. Not because they were far and away the most popular grocery store chain in Florida, but because they'd given him a political contribution. It totaled less than 3% of what he got in political contributions for the month of February alone. And Publix gave to Democrats as well. Who needs that kind of inconvenient fact? But Florida's Emergency Management Agency, their state version of FEMA, recommended Publix, run by a guy named Jared Moskowitz, a former elected Democrat. No one claims Publix did a bad job with the vaccine distribution. No one claims they inappropriately profited from having the vaccine in their stores. This was all about branding DeSantis as abusing the need for vaccines to assist his own political career. DeSantis didn't write a memoir about how awesome he was on the coronavirus and profit from selling a book. Not like he could do a tour of all the network shows where they would all praise him as a hero and sell his memoir. You know, another part of this is that DeSantis was prioritizing seniors for vaccines. This was presented by all the networks as some sort of controversial move. Like they don't know the science? Look at the death count. Look at the hospitalizations. The seniors always were most at risk. And yet somehow prioritizing seniors was seen as controversial because a Republican was doing it. Or as they suggest, well, Florida seniors, they're more likely to be wealthy and white. Sharon Alfonsi at CBS puts on this state rep, Omari Hardy, to say, you know, DeSantis prioritized seniors over minorities. Because you always got to get the racism angle in there. There are reasons why DeSantis would pop off at the CBS reporter. And he does a lot of this. He fights with reporters. But he backs it up. And this is why you have to be careful about the way you watch these clips and say, there's probably something missing. Oh, yeah, CBS left a lot of stuff out. He explained to Sharon Alfonsi, to everyone else, why this was a fake narrative. He explained all this about how Publix came to get the vaccines. And they didn't want to show that part. Our good friend Molly Hemingway at The Federalist reported, DeSantis' office offered multiple experts to talk to CBS and Sharon Alfonsi, but they weren't interested. That includes Jared Moskowitz, that former elected Democrat official who's running their emergency management agency. Alfonsi also refused to speak to the Democrat mayor of Palm Beach County. He would have disputed the aspects of this CBS hatchet job. These are just all the earmarks of the CBS narrative over news approach. This is CBS writ large, but it's also 60 Minutes in particular. We all remember 60 Minutes, in this case 60 Minutes 2, sliming George W. Bush with phony documents in 2004, in the fall of 2004. But this is really a long-standing pattern, is that they're vicious to Republicans and they're sappy with Democrats. They're so sappy with Democrats, I have to recommend to you, you give it a look. I did a special report a while back. We called it Syrupy Minutes. And we focused especially on Steve Croft's series of interviews with Barack Obama in 2008. They were so positive. Well, it's probably 2007 and 2008. They were so positive that after the election, after Obama was elected, CBS made a DVD for Obama fans of all the Steve Croft interviews with Obama. And now they're hammering DeSantis. You have to understand that. So Syrupy Minutes goes into how they were sappy with Obama, how they were sappy with Hillary Clinton, how they were sappy with their own Comedy Central guys, with Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart. They're syrupy toward all the right people. Alec Baldwin was in there. Syrupy with all the liberals and vicious with John McCain, vicious with George W. Bush, and of course, recently, vicious with Donald Trump. We will talk about CBS and Hunter Biden when we return.
MRC-store.com.
Pro-gun, pro-life, pro-God, and pro-America? Welcome to the Pro Shop.
MRC-store.com.
T-shirts, hoodies, goodies, and much more.
MRC-store.com.
The only store that always offers conservatives more.
That's MRC-store.com.
Log on, log in, and help the Media Research Center while shopping for great gear today.
MRC-store.com.
So CBS had two interviews with Hunter Biden, one that aired on the show Sunday morning with Tracy Smith, and a second one with Anthony Mason that aired on Monday morning on CBS This Morning. Now, the first thing we have to note is just the timing of this. Somehow, Hunter Biden was not going to be made available in October of 2020. That would be inconvenient. They spent October of 2020 squashing the New York Post and their reporting on Hunter Biden's laptop. Not just the networks that all suggested this was some sort of Russian propaganda job. The social media networks squashed it. Twitter squashed it. Facebook squashed it. So now suddenly Hunter Biden is news when the Bidens decide it's news. when Hunter Biden has a book to promote. When there's money to be made, it's time to cash in. And let's underline this. This is a Simon & Schuster book, a division of CBS, which would explain why it had two separate interviews on CBS stations and a preview of the Sunday morning thing on the Friday this morning. Now, not counting the Friday morning gush, Scott Whitlock here counted 25 minutes plus of promo for Hunter Biden. And I can safely say this is promo for Hunter Biden. It doesn't just promote the book. It promotes him. And you could say if CBS had a book deal with Hunter Biden last year, which they clearly did because he didn't write this thing in a month, CBS in particular had an interest in squashing the Hunter Biden story last fall because they had a book deal in the works. This whole thing smells, but this is the way CBS News operates. CBS News is put news in quotes. Because everything they do sounds like, oh, well, how do we help the Democrats today? Sounds like the organizing principle. I mean, on Friday, they show a snippet, and then Gayle King, Mr. Whitlock always likes to call her Democrat donor Gayle King, because she gave a bunch of money to Obama and other Democrats. Gayle King, and vacations with the Obamas. Gayle King came on after the snippet of Hunter Biden and just said, you know, it gave me goosebumps when he said his family's love was just as powerful as his addiction. Now, do you think that's true or is that just a sales job? If his family's love was stronger than his addiction, why was he an addict for so long? Why did he get kicked out of the military? Oh, let's not focus on that. The only way they're going to cover the drugs is to turn it into a love story. The interview with Tracy Smith allowed like 26 seconds about the ongoing investigation into Hunter Biden's finances. This is her actual question. What is it about? Can you say anything more? Hunter just said he was innocent, and she politely moved on. 26 seconds. There's no acknowledgement of anything. There's no specificity. She can't spend a day or two prepping for this interview. She's going to basically say, what do you think? Do you have anything more to say? No, I don't, ma'am. Okay. Now compare that to 60 Minutes. Did Sharon Alfonsi play patty cake like this with Ron DeSantis? Do you have anything more to say? No? Okay. And Tracy Smith sort of takes on this whole line of about how this was bad optics. You know, you taking a job on the board of a Ukrainian energy firm, it just looks bad. While your dad is vice president and has been given this whole idea of supervising the Ukraine very personally, and then suddenly you get a job at a Ukrainian energy company, and she's like, did you make a mistake looking back? And of course, Hunter says, he gives you the classic Democrat political answer. I think I made a mistake in underestimating the way in which it would be used against me. Do you think? And Smith responds, but you must have seen the optics even back then. I mean, how could you not have foreseen this was going to look bad? And he denied that he thought it would look bad, which just shows you, yeah, you're clueless. Then this line comes up. This, to me, is the worst part of the Tracy Smith interview. Biden pulls out the same boilerplate as last fall. All I know is not one investigative body, not one serious journalist has ever come to the conclusion I did anything wrong or that my father did anything wrong. To which Tracy Smith responds, but the rumors lived on. That's simply preposterous to say no serious journalist has accused them of doing something wrong. Even the liberal media suggested they did something wrong. They just tried to make it a much bigger deal that it was somehow impeachable, that Donald Trump would go to Ukraine and say, hey, you guys should look into this. because we have a bunch of networks like CBS that don't want to look into it. Somebody needs to look into it. That was impeachable because CBS stinks. No serious journalist has ever accused the Bidens of doing anything wrong. What does that say? That CBS would just allow that to stand. What they're really saying is serious journalists are the ones that kiss the Bidens' rings, that talk about here they come out of church, they're such devout Catholics, and they've never taken a dime that looks slimy. It's just serious journalists, we all know what serious journalists should do, and that is they ask tough questions of both sides. The Bidens aren't getting tough questions on this. They never have. Hunter Biden can do this book tour, and this ain't going to be the end of it. Hunter Biden can do a book tour, and it's going to be all like, oh, I got goosebumps from him talking about how loving his daddy was. And then the preposterous part, I mean, this was a preposterous part, the part about no one's ever accused them of doing anything wrong. Then there's the laptop. Bill D'Agostino, or Bill D'Agostino was working Sunday. Nick Knight trained Fondacaro's taking the weekend off. Sometimes he's Sunday funnies Fondacaro when he's working on Sundays. Bill D'Agostino made this point. Tracy Smith avoided asking the most obvious question imaginable. How could you not know whether a laptop, which allegedly contains emails in which you attempt to trade your father's influence for profit, is yours? That would nail it. That would be what a serious journalist would ask. You have a laptop. On the laptop are emails that show very clearly you were organizing in Ukraine for favors and influence peddling and all of this stuff. And they can't manage to get any specificity on that at all. So she asks him, you know, is this your laptop? And Hunter says, I really don't know. You don't know? I don't have any idea. I have no idea. So then Tracy Smith says, so it could have been yours? Hunter, of course. There could be a laptop out there that was stolen from me. There could be that I was hacked. It could be that it was Russian intelligence. It could be that it was stolen from me. And CBS just lets that sit there. It could be that space aliens took my laptop. You know, this is like the Hunter Biden equivalent of Sunday morning last week going, 80% of Catholic Church priests could be gay. It's not news. The CBS, I mean, stands for crappy broadcast system. It's just terrible. And then comes around on Monday morning with Anthony Mason. Is Anthony Mason going to be less of a joke than Tracy Smith? Sorry. He asks about the laptop again. And Hunter says, you don't need a laptop. You got a book. You get the book. It's all in the book. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Okay, he didn't say that part. Available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. Don't make me answer this question. And Anthony Mason goes, you don't know? Hunter, the serious answer, I truly do not know. Mason, did you leave the laptop with a repairman in Wilmington? Biden, not that I remember. Are you still on crack? I mean, it's... how are they just tolerating this? And he's going, you know, I don't know if I was hacked. Whether or not there exists a laptop, I don't know. Mason, are you missing a laptop? Biden, not that I know of. The guy won't even admit there was a laptop. This is where you're like, hey, Anthony Mason, did you take 2 seconds to look this up? Could you take a day and read the New York Post? There's a laptop. Left at a repair shop with Hunter Biden's signature. Can you confirm the signature? This is what journalists do, Mr. Mason. They actually investigate. They don't just ask some drug addict where he can't find where the laptop is. We're on this place now where you want to say, Hunter Biden, is that car out in the lot that you arrived in today, is that your car? Could be. I don't know. Is that your wife? Could be. Is that your baby? I'm not sure. Do I have a baby? Do I have two babies? Did I knock up a stripper? Could be. The idea that they call this news. And then they come out and it... So Kyle Drennan this morning's making fun of this, you know. Whitlock does the transcript over here. And, oh my goodness. The sarcasm was flowing after this. They're talking about the laptop and everything. And Anthony Mason was talking about the interview. And he said, a friend told me the thing you need to understand when you say aloud, he's telling the story aloud and being honest with himself was very cathartic. That's what the book means to him. It's part of the catharsis. And then Tony DeCoppel adds, well, if it helps him get better, I'm sure Joe Biden is all for it. So apparently, according to CBS, this is more of a group therapy session than an interview. And the real judgment of whether this is good journalism is, does Hunter feel better after it's over? Did he have a good cry? Was it cathartic? I'm so glad he feels better. Can you imagine? I mean, Hunter Biden hopefully isn't going to run for president, but this is not the way they would have covered George W. Bush. I remember the way they covered George W. Bush. 60 Minutes did a hatchet job that suggested he was dealing cocaine. Now, I know most people don't remember that because it was a scummy CBS story that everyone would rather forget. But let's just circle back here to mention Jen Psaki for 2 seconds. We're going to circle back and underline this one more time. CBS gave these Hunter Biden interviews 25 minutes. That's 25 minutes of book publicity for Simon & Schuster, a division of Viacom CBS. This is business synergy, and this is political synergy. And we've got it all marked down here. Come see it. Come see the CRP minutes. Come see the interviews and the way we've taken them down. Come to Newsbusters once, twice, 24 times a day. And then you'll be informed. You'll know what these people do. All right? Come back around. Thanks for listening.